Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Drab.
This is Matt Valdez.
You guys are listening to Bit Season, episode 24.
Oh, Ken Griffey.
Hope everybody's having a great week. I think it's been a pretty eventful week on the Junkies.
I'd say so.
A lot of news we're breaking.
Yeah, the Junkies love breaking news. I think they get a rise in their pants when they do it.
There's always a little bit more excitement on the show. I know I woke up on Wednesday morning, which was the day that we were going to release the Patino news, and I got out of bed a little bit quicker. I just a little bit more excited for the show that day, knowing that the Junks were going to break some news.
The guys, whenever they have a nugget and they go public with their nugget, mm-hmm. they get very giddy, and it makes them feel like big sillies. And I think that's why they all are giddy. And it's kind of like a I told you so type persona that they carry.
I do have to say, one of my favorite parts of working on this show, and maybe it's just in radio in general as well, is hearing the skinny, the behind the scenes of how something's come together, who so-and-so sources are, what you can and can't say on the air.
I wish that we could talk about some of the stuff that is persona non grata for air.
Right. It's like some radio DJs love the concert tickets or going to basketball. I never take people up on that. Just not something that I'm that interested in.
Yeah, because we're homebodies.
But I love the behind the scenes.
Right. The intel.
The intel you collect as a radio employee.
What you know that others don't.
It's not even being a radio employee, I guess. It's just being on this show where you and me are fortunate enough to be on it, and the guys have a lot of connections.
The guys are just plugged in.
We hear a lot of stories. Now, look, not all of them are true. The things that we hear a lot of rumors and goofy things. But you know, if you hear the Junkies go on the air with something, then you know it's well backed up.
The Junks have a rock solid history of story breaking. I feel like the, they I don't do. I don't feel like they've missed.
They may have missed at some point, or maybe some clarifications where
semantics
may have been. But I mean, the big one is going back to the wristband gate.
Yeah.
Back with McNabb, and that was proven correct. And wasn't it Kelly Johnson? What did she do? Because I saw someone mention her this week, Kelly Johnson, the old NBC reporter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That she like debunked the Junkies report and then ended up being true. Because I saw someone mention her this week.
I just remember there was a beat reporter
mm-hmm.
that was completely like, I think like they were carrying water for the team,
right.
Basically. And then the coach or the GM at the time basically ran.
Came out with a conflicting report.
Yeah, they just ran to that reporter and contradicted it. But it came out to be true, all in all.
Yeah. It is always interesting how Lurch and Eric, because JP and Cakes, let's be honest, they're not the guys that like to smooge and break
Jason,
the news.
Yeah, Jason and Eric are the investigative reporters, I feel like.
Maybe this is why
they have contacts. Jason's is the people person.
Maybe this is why Jason doesn't waste his time with losers. This is why he's going out to dinner with Brian Mitchell and not Drab and Valdez.
Because he's pumping people for skinny.
Like, he's just involved in movers and shakers, right?
All right? Well, here, let me ask you a question. Because we've all determined Jason only hangs out with rich people.
Yeah.
What if you're poor, but you have inside intel?
No, if you're not rich, then you have to have played sports. Like Sean Glennon.
Right. I think Sean Glennon does well for himself.
No. Sean Glennon, I'm sure he does well. I think he's in real estate or something. Yeah. I'm sure he makes, I have no idea.
Makes much more than us.
More than us.
By the way, check out Bit Season's Twitter.
Hey, look, I'm saying Sean Glennon's not a mega millionaire from a company he started, or he's not flying out to Pebble Beach.
Right. He's not
on
chartering
his own,
own jet.
Jason likes owners of companies. You know, or a guy.
You have to have three letters in your title.
Right.
CFO, CEO.
Yeah.
COO.
Right. I could also do 100 hours on Jason's trip to Auburn. That was, that's another thing. But I don't want to pick on him too much.
Yeah. I don't want to get in the habit of picking on the guys. Because there's a lot of people that think we use this forum to pick on
the
guys.
The junkies think that.
Yes.
If you had listened to the show, first off, you know that there's no bigger fans of the junkies than myself and Valdez. We have free reign, for the most part, to take shots at the guys.
Yeah. Hey, you know what people are doing? People probably have a calendar, and they have an office pool. All right, because all the biddies are working in the same cube and they're all talking at the water cooler about bitsies. So they have an office pool with a date, because you know how a coworker will be pregnant and you got to
you
got to pick the day that they're going to have the kid. They're picking the number of episodes before we get canceled by the junks. They're saying, I got episode 42.
Well, first, if there's been one conversation between multiple employees at a water cooler,
I know
you always have these wackadoo theories.
I like my mind to run wild with ideas.
Drake. Well, the junkies, it's always nice when the junkies make news and it happened twice.
It makes our job easier.
Sometimes. I don't know if easier is the right word.
No, it makes the segments, I guess, more interesting.
Well, the guys are more engaged. EB's been fired up. He's been dialed into the show this week. He's all over the place, but in a good way, in my opinion. JP, I don't think talked on Thursday's show. Did anyone else notice that?
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Thursday, we're just doing a recap. JP spent the night with Cake snoring next to him. He went to bed after 1 a.m. I think JP said like 10 words on the show today,
which is a miracle. Because we all know JP's famous for flaming, but I noticed that too. I think it's a combination of things.
All right.
I think it's the lack of sleep. I think JP was so tilted by such little sleep at the at MGM for the Cakes Classic, and then also I think he was uber tilted about like changing flights. He was more focused on the flights to Las Vegas out of Dulles. Than talking to Lars.
I don't mean to be insensitive. In fact, I'm not even sure who passed away. But it would have to be an immediate family member for me not to fly out to Vegas on time.
Well, Jason brought up a great point. He said, your trip was already scheduled.
Right.
You know, just send a bigger bouquet of flowers. It's kind of a good point.
It's an earth shattering death. All right.
Okay.
I'm keeping my plans to fly to Vegas. I'm sorry. Oh, for a wake.
It's not even the funeral. It's the wake.
We were told that it was a wake. I've maybe been to two wakes in my life. I'm fortunate enough that it hasn't happened a lot.
Uh-huh. Be honest with you. No one really knows if you're there.
No one knows if you're there.
Do they have the book that you got to sign when you walk in?
But were people going back and looking over and keeping track?
That's what I'm saying. You have Giovanni write JP Flame in the book.
Right.
So it looks like you were there. Well, is that insensitive?
Yeah.
Is that kind of a D-bag move?
I think it's I think it's an extended family member.
Yes.
But it's not like by blood. It's like I don't know.
A cousin's in-law or something like that.
Yeah. Somebody he's known for a long time. I'm sorry. I'm already took the day off work. I'm flying to Vegas.
You know, this has been in the works for months now.
Yeah.
I've already prepaid stuff.
I'm flying out with the other guys.
Well, I did that when I didn't go to JP's book party at his house. I already had concert tickets that I've had for months in advance.
Well, a funeral is, but JP called it the bereavement scam. That's the first thing he said about it when he mentioned it on the show about moving his flights.
Like in Seinfeld when they
right. So right away I knew it wasn't a death that was like uber important in his life. Like
he's talking about scamming the system.
Right.
He's trying to get one over on orbits.
I think so.
But hey, what would you think though? If all of a sudden you saw Matt Valdez's name in the death log, but I didn't attend. All right. Right. Let's say you threw a rock at your brother's head and he died.
All right. And I invite you to the funeral.
Yeah. And I'm invited to the funeral. You know, all the junks and everybody, you know, we're all invited because we're together. We're brothers. We're strong. We wouldn't be there for Drabby.
All right.
All right. But I got tickets to to the opening weekend of March Madness out in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then I tell Cakes, I say, hey, Cakes, can you just, you know, write my condolences, Matt Valdez, in that log?
And then you think I'm going to be too consumed by grief.
Yeah. And you're so overwhelmed by grief that it will go unnoticed that my name is on there. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking back to your brother and you're thinking back to that week. All right. And you're scrolling through the pictures and, you know, the memories, and you're going through the book and you're sobbing and reading all these great words of wisdom.
I send you a thank you note for attending.
Yeah, you send me a thank you note. And all of a sudden it hits you. I didn't think I saw that big lunk Valdez walking around this wake.
Well, I would think, I mean, it's a funny, I would think that you would just tell me, or I would hear about it eventually, probably on the air as a segment. that happened to me, not at a funeral, but Chad and Oscar, who I did a show with, and close personal friends. If you know anything about Drab's history on the air, you know about Chad and Oscar. Did a show, Big on Dukes, with them for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Okay. 15, I don't know what it was, 14 years. Okay. Neither one of them came to my wedding.
That's true.
I still think about that all the time. That would be the equivalent of EB and Cakes not coming to my wedding.
What was their reasoning? And by the way, did they give you heads up? Because heads up.
This is what I was accused of booking my wedding knowing that Chad was unavailable, and I picked that date.
Was he down in like Nag's Head or something?
Exactly. All right. As if my wedding wasn't planned. Yeah. And Oscar didn't come because he was okay. This is actually I don't know which one's a bigger insult. Oscar was graduating from University of Maryland's business school.
Okay.
And he wanted to walk in the ceremony. All right. Most people try to get out of graduation ceremonies.
He used it as an excuse.
He used it as an excuse not to go to my wedding.
All right. Well, did they send wedding gifts?
They did.
Okay. Well,
the wedding gifts. I mean, I have gladly accepted their wedding gifts. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it was, a nice chunk of change, but you want people that you're close to attend your wedding, right? Don't you?
Yes, that's true. But, you know, Chad would have been miserable.
Did all the junkies go to your wedding?
Yes,
they did.
Yes,
everybody went to mine from the show, but they complained about it.
Of course, because it was in the middle of July, wasn't it?
It wasn't just. It was in the middle of July, but it was July
28th,
July 23rd. Don't put me on the spot. I had to think about it for a second. July 23rd, but there was a heat wave.
Yeah. And it was the hottest wedding known to man.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know,
it's a good story.
No, you put everyone on tilt.
Why?
You know why?
Why?
Because you were like 30 minutes late for the ceremony.
It wasn't 30 minutes late. The power went out. It was so hot. There was an effect.
Hold on. I did not know that.
Yes. It was so hot out that there were like blackouts or something. Rolling
blackouts?
I think it was a rolling blackout.
Like Entourage.
And 30 minutes before the ceremony, the power shut off. I was putting on my tuxedo.
You're changing in the dark.
Do you understand what a disaster that would have been?
That would have been awful. You know what else?
The wedding was outside, but it would have ruined the reception.
All right. There's a lot of things I remember about Drab's wedding.
I don't know how we got on this. Oh, because we're talking about funerals.
Yeah. Number one. John DePompa was your DJ, and he was great.
Mm-hmm.
That's me sucking up to John DePompa.
All right.
Number two, world's tiniest crab balls.
That's often mentioned.
Often mentioned.
Beautiful location.
Yes.
Dan Snyder bought a mansion right next to where I got married.
I'm not hating on the location. I thought it was great. I liked the rolling hills where Bobby Shambles was smoking doobies.
I can't remember, I may have smoked weed on my wedding. I did.
Hey, that's trashy.
So trashy,
that's
so right? Trashy. Well, it was during the reception, okay? It was during the reception, and it was at this place called, what is it called? Something Farm. Washington's Farm.
It was like Mount Vernon Farm or something. George Washington.
Yeah. Right in the Potomac. God, I can't believe I can't remember that. Hopefully my wife never hears this. She'll literally kill me.
All right. So the tiniest crab balls, you being late, John DePompa, and then also, this is what I remember from your wedding very vividly.
You remember my officiant?
Well, of course.
Right?
Yes. Judge Alston,
because I found out 2 days before the wedding that the guy I was flying, my best friend's dad.
Yeah, he's a P1.
My best friend's dad, who was my best man, he was supposed to be the officiant, but he wasn't credentialed in Virginia.
He wasn't like ordained or whatever.
Well, I don't know. It was some curveball. All right.
This is what I wanted to bring up about your wedding.
All right.
All right. So every guy, you look very thin. I'm not saying you don't look thin now, but
I know.
During your wedding, that was peak drab.
I was 183 pounds.
That was your 11,590.
It really was.
All right, drab was starving himself.
And you want to hear the lamest thing about that?
Running to the bathroom puking. Hold on. This might be the same thing that I'm going to bring up.
No, it's not. I promise you it's not. Okay. Lame is the word I'm using because I can't use the other word that we used to use
I swear to God, it's the same thing. We're on the count of three. You want to say it?
Sure.
One, two, three. You and Adam got sexy together.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam got sexy for your wedding.
A1 and I went on a crash diet together for my wedding. He would look good in the photos.
You guys were playing tummy sticks.
You know what? You were in the Get Huge Club, and you were out on stage on a Speedo with two other guys all oiled up. I don't want to hear anything.
That is true. But it's funny because, you know, as a groom, you're trying to look your best for the wedding pictures. And then Adam's trying to look his best, like he's trying to steal you away from your wife at the last second at the altar.
As if anyone would either notice or care that Adam was there.
He's just a fly on the wall.
I remember,
dude, that was his Super Bowl.
Yeah,
he really treated He treated your wedding like his.
Hey, speaking of listeners at my wedding, I just remembered that I didn't get invited to Rom's wedding. Rom got married in, I think, 2013, a couple of years before.
At a winery.
And you were there.
And like near Leesburg, near Raspberry Falls.
Here's the thing. I've been on the Junkies for 10 years right now. March of 2012 is when I started. Mm-hmm. I've known Rom since 2007. Rom didn't get married till 2013 or 14 or something like that. I feel like I should have been on that.
You should have.
And we guilted him, and he had to invite me. He invited me on air when we were at the Borgata to his wedding over the phone, and I told him no.
Well, that's a slap
because
in the face.
His wedding was like in 2 days.
That's such a slap in the face.
So
that, do you know? Do you remember? Well, you weren't there, but Rom's wedding. But this is how good of a producer I am.
Yeah.
All right. This is A+ producing. Is that it was well known that Rom was having a dry wedding. All right.
Okay.
For marinas culture, or I don't know why, but he was having a dry wedding.
It could have been because of marinas culture.
Right? To be honest, I have no idea. But it was dry, and which is hysterical because Rom gets butt-sized to drink.
Right. Of course.
All right. So being the intelligent producer I am, what is EB's favorite drink of choice?
What does EB like? I'm blanking right
he
now.
He loves Jack. Diets.
All right. Would you give him a flask?
No. I stopped at the ABC store and I stuffed my pockets with Jack Daniel's minis.
Nice. Kissing up to the big silly.
Yes. And I was handing them out to him like they were Pez. I swear to God, I went up on his friendship ladder because of that. I bought him over with Jack Daniel's.
Now, you always make fun of my wedding. Is there anything to mock Rom's wedding about? Didn't he sing a song to the Junkies?
Yes, he sang, was it the Celine Dion or Barbra Streisand hero? Yeah, Barbra Streisand hero.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it was very awkward. And Marina was, looked amazing and gorgeous, and it's her day. Mm-hmm. And then Rom took the stage and microphone and started serenading the Junkies. He used his wedding for attention dollars for the
Junkies. Well, you know what? BDK got married, and his wedding was, they were doing movie dances the whole time.
Yes. Do you remember? do you remember Kevin's big surprise?
Now hold on. Take me back to that. Okay. What I was referring to is, by the way, Kevin's first dance, or one of the main dance at his wedding.
He did the Pulp Fiction
yes. Snake Eyes thing or whatever.
Yeah, where Uma and John Travolta were dancing at the club or whatever. But leading up to Kevin's wedding for a 2-week stretch,
he teased
it. It's like the greatest radio tease known to man.
He said, brilliant.
And by the way,
he's so smart.
He knows, because he knows the Junks will leave as soon as dinner's over.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're out of there before Kevin and his wife can cut the cake.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Kevin, 2 weeks leading up to his wedding, goes, "You guys will want to stay to the end. There's a huge surprise at the end of the wedding." All right. And then Kevin has awesome connections throughout Hollywood. So,
The big rumor?
Yeah, the big rumor. The big rumor was that, The Rock is going to show up.
Dwayne Johnson was going to show up and make a big entrance at Kevin's wedding.
Did he have something about Christian Slater?
I think Christian Slater at that time too. He was running the hot way.
Yeah. He's going to have Christian Slater officiate his wedding, or there's going to be a collage of star
Oh yeah, there's congratulations be a collage of stars videos. Yeah.
To Kevin and his wife. And you know what the big surprise was?
I remember, because I stayed till the very end open to get The Rock's autograph.
I know. I wanted to see Dwayne Johnson bust through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. All right. But instead, he had hard tacos and soft tacos for everyone from Taco Bell.
Worst surprise ever. That was the worst tasting Taco Bell I've ever had in my life. It was so much disappointment in those soft tacos. Those cold soft tacos.
They've been sitting in the closet for 4 hours.
Yeah, that was funny, man. Outside of that, I think that was the last Junkies related wedding we've been to, right?
I think we covered.
Adam's never going to get married.
I think that's covered them all,
and that's pretty much it. I don't think we've been to any listener weddings outside of that. So
you know what? We will go to the listener weddings for a small appearance fee.
Oh, I would love that bit.
We would be like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in Wedding Crashers. All right, bit season crashers.
All right, so take me through this. All right, so there's a P1.
All right, there's a P1, and
I know we have people getting married because we get cameos
all the time
about guys getting engaged and their wedding.
Congratulations, coming. All that good stuff.
Right, so what you're envisioning is we get an invite to a wedding.
Yes, so this is what happens. They send the wedding invitation to the studio.
All right,
and by the way, we need the glossy invitation and everything.
Okay.
All right, the real deal, not just some DM on Instagram.
We need an official
wedding invitation. It says drab and Valdez and gold cursive, RSVP, all that good stuff. And they put us up in a hotel if that's necessary.
If it's local, we can. Right, you got to travel to a listener's wedding.
If there's a good enough appearance fee.
Okay, depends on the appearance fee. Okay. Some people have a lot of money.
So this is what we do. We show up to the wedding, all right, as mini celebrities, and we pal around with the groom. So it looks like he has famous friends.
So are you saying before the wedding, we're backstage, we're drinking beers.
Yeah, we're hanging out. We're loosening everybody up. Yeah. You know, all the groomsmen, we're hanging out.
Yeah, telling junkie stories. Yeah,
telling inside skinny, inside scoop.
That we can't say on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Everything Jason says off air that he's not allowed to say.
I like this.
All right. We got our nice suits on and everything, and then we sit at the table and we do some banter, and you get a 2-minute shtick speech from us before the best man.
No. I'm out on that.
I'll do it.
Because here's the thing. You can't have us give a public speech in front of people that don't know the Junkies. That will bomb.
All right. Well, how about this? How about you can hire Fun and Funner for your bachelor party?
Oh, bachelor. Now you're talking.
All right, let's scrap the wedding plan.
Okay, now you're talking. Right, bachelor party.
Right, you hire Drab and Valdez. Mm-hmm. And we come out to your bachelor party and we get it started. All right. You want to play golf with Valdez? You want to smoke doobies with Drab?
I love it. All right.
All right. And if it's not local, you have to pay for our flight.
And the appearance fee.
And the appearance fee. Yeah, yes, of course.
You know, I'm getting this vision of us being like the court stormers from Barstool, right?
Well, you know what I'm ripping off?
What?
I'm ripping off Beetlejuice from Howard Stern. They used to be able to hire that dwarf to go to your bachelor party.
Did people hire him all the time?
All the time. You make a killing.
Hey, you know what?
Our cameos. He had a manager.
Hey, our cameos are running dry.
I know. Right. Now we got to do live cameos where we show up to your bachelor party.
Also, I forgot to remind you about that cameo we were supposed to do today with Lurch.
Yes, you did. Yeah. It might have expired.
I think it expired. Damn it. All right. So you and me, we're traveling the country. We're popping into bachelor.
Yeah, we're traveling to Vegas. We're traveling to Miami. We're traveling to like Ocean City. We're traveling to, what are some other bachelor party hotspots?
You said Nashville?
I thought that's like mostly for
chicks.
Women.
I think guys go there too. What are your rules about the bachelor party?
All right, rule number one, there are no rules. rule number one.
I got no hard drugs.
No hard drugs.
I don't want to be confronted with that.
No,
I'm too old for that.
That would be awkward.
Too awkward. I've never done anything but smoke weed. I don't want some guy doing a pile of cocaine in front of me.
No. I don't want people tying their arms off.
Right. What about strippers? Is that a go?
All right.
That's a go. We can't.
You have to have at least one naked girl around.
We didn't have any strippers at my bachelor party. We played FIFA.
The one I was never invited to.
You were not invited to. Yeah.
Drinking. Yeah. You have to supply us with beer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then we will participate in drinking games, but we can also decline. You can't force us to do the game.
And we'll come with prepared shtick.
Oh, of course.
For the party.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna have stories. We'll answer all your questions. We'll tell you how much the junkies make a year.
we'll tell you about all the fights.
Yeah, all the fights.
We'll rank our favorite junkies from 4 to 1.
we'll basically do a live bit season for you.
Right. All right, I like that.
All right. That's better than being a wedding crusher.
Started off though, send us a DM. And then send us the official invite.
Yeah,
if we're interested.
Yes.
All right. It was an exciting week, as we said on the show. One of the things that jumped out most to me, I know we got a lot of stuff we could get to here, and we've been
rambling about weddings and brainstorming our business idea.
Lurch said on the show this week, it was a very just slid it in their comment. We were talking about the Commander Stadium.
All right.
And the opening up in 2027, where yes. It's going to be.
And then he was fearful because he doesn't want it in Sterling,
right?
Like in the Dulles Airport area next to his house.
He's a big, not in my backyard guy. All right.
Definitely.
He wants a nice stadium and something wants it to be someone else's problem. But he said this in 2027, I'll be living in South Carolina.
That's only 5 years away.
That was that kind of rocked me a little bit. I did
that
the
jolt, that jolted me too.
Yeah, I did the white guy blinking meme when I heard that. Right?
Uh-huh.
I was like, that soon? That's Lurch's plan. He's, I guess, retiring in the next 5 years and moving to Myrtle Beach
because Jason can't do the show remotely.
I think
especially if everyone else, all three of the other junks, are doing it from the studio.
I have to say this. I'm not interested on being on producing a show that's half-assed like that. And that is a half-assed. If he retires and moves to South Carolina, that's one thing. God bless you. You made your money, you put your time, and you built a successful career.
He would have worked for 30 years in radio.
Right. Congratulations. Like, you built an amazing show with the guys.
Yeah.
Him mailing it in every day. From some beach in Hilton Head.
Silly.
I know. Sounds great, right?
I know, but the show suffers.
The show suffers.
And that's what a lot of listeners don't understand. Like, they just think that the guys have their Comrex and they turn it on and they sit in their kitchen and do the show.
But don't
it's
you,
just, it's different.
But are we speaking as producers? Because I would think if you ask the majority of listeners, they're going to want Lurch on the show from South Carolina. If a little bit of Lurch better than no Lurch.
I mean, I guess that's true, but is that fair to the rest of the guys? Is that fair to us?
I guess we really don't have a say. In my opinion, I don't think it's fair to anybody.
Look, there's the
we want these guys to be all in.
Yeah,
and it's not first of all, it's not a little bit of Lurch. You would be on if he's on every single day, doing a show from a Comrex. That's a lot of Lurch, but not the best Lurch.
It's hard to explain, but when all four of the guys are here in the studio, there's an energy.
We already had this. We had it during the pandemic.
A year doing shows from home.
And I thought it sucked. I thought it sucked. I think the listeners knew. Maybe sucked isn't the right word, but it wasn't as fun.
It's just, it's hard because you're trying to play off each other, and it's hard to do when you're in four separate locations.
Even if you're on video, it's just the magic of like the, what we talk about during the commercial break carries over to the air. There's none of that when...
I know. And then something, you know, a lot of the times there's stuff that we have to do that is very immediate. Like today when there was breaking news, you know, do you know how difficult that would be if, you know, all the guys were in different locations?
What about this?
And I know what Eric is going to say, because he says it to us all the time about this, and which I don't understand, because today Eric goes, I want to see everyone's face. And then two days later, he goes, well, Kevin and Bean do it from different locations.
Awesome.
Do their show from different spots.
I think they fired him.
Yeah.
Eventually they fired him because it wasn't the same. They got, you know, just wasn't worth the hassle. I'll say this. What's so bad about being one of the junkies? Lurch mopes around a lot of times acting like he has the most difficult life.
No, I stand by this.
I think for some reason
he's stressed.
What's to be stressed about? He's got
no. His girls are growing up, and
that's not stressful.
He's being a helicopter dad, and it stresses him out.
He lives a charmed life. All right.
Okay. I tend to agree with you.
He works a few hours a day, doing what? Talking sports, and makes an unbelievable living. And he wants to run away from that to go to South Carolina to be bored on a beach after 3 months.
Well, you're saying
that's my opinion.
I don't have a problem if he wants to just hang it up in 5 years. I said that
I don't really have a problem. I'm just trying to get into his mindset. Like why would you give this up?
I don't know. I think it's a gravy train. And you ride it out until the wheels fall off.
It's not even a gravy train. I don't like that word. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's one of the best jobs in the world, right? In my opinion. Working in radio, telling people your opinion about things every single day.
People care what you have to say.
People care what you say.
Isn't that amazing? We're two dopes, and people care what we have to say.
I think about that all the time.
I'm stupid, and people want to hear what I have to say.
Maybe not what you have to say, but they like the way you say it. Right. Maybe that's what it is.
You know what? I had somebody tweet me the other day, and I couldn't believe it. I am a dumb redneck idiot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this guy goes, Matt, I need to hear what you have to say about Tyler Huntley. And I was like, whoa, this guy cares what I have to say.
You know what DM I just got? I got a guy trying to get me involved in his family, in his divorce, in his child. Child custody battle right now. I don't know the guy. Never talked to him before. He's trying to get me to get his daughter back. The things that people come at us with blow my mind sometimes. And it's a fun job. And I just don't understand why someone would want to give it up. What are you running away from? Jason complains. I love Jason. I love Jason. He's like a family. He also like a family member. So some things he does sometimes bother me, or things that he says. Him wanting to not be all in on the junkies. And we talked about this recently about the pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the show last week, right? On Bit Season?
Yeah, we talked about Jason not wanting to play. He didn't want to participate in the tournament.
That's Jason having one step in South Carolina, where he, at this point in his career, he's not the go-getter. He no grassroots campaign to build the show, to keep the show going.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jason has already looked at property in North and South Carolina?
100%. He probably does it all the time.
No, I mean like a visit property.
Oh.
Like when he's down at Baldhead Island, Cary and starts picking out houses.
Yeah, but you know what? You and me sit on Zillow all the time looking at Florida flop houses that we want to buy.
You know how many $300,000 condos I found in Hilton Head?
I don't know. Valdez says all the time, I'm going to pour beers in South Carolina
in Hilton Head.
As well. But Jason's serious. Jason, like, he that's his mindset.
Yeah, pour lattes in Hilton Head.
There is a coffee shop for sale in Hilton Head that we saw that Valdez and I want to buy and move there. That's our flavor of the week. Yeah. But we're not really serious about it. At least I don't think.
Until all of a sudden you see me mixing coffee grinds, trying to learn how to make an espresso.
But you and me, we know we have a fun job and a good job.
Of course.
Lurch, sometimes I feel like he forgets that.
You're like me where you just fantasize about things.
I'm a big fantasizer.
Yes, we like daydreaming.
And as they say in Rudy, the problem with dreamers is they're usually not doers.
That is so true. you know how many ideas I've had that I never followed through on?
You're telling me I just bought an entrepreneurial book about acquiring businesses. I can't imagine somebody knows less about business than Drab. And I'm out there buying books, trying to buy laundromats. All right, we got to get to EB. EB,
he was on fire.
He was on fire this week. What did you? He was all over the place. Let's talk about him stiffing our guy Bodie in Colorado tonight. Won't have a beer with the poor guy.
I don't like this. This is what tilts me is that, you know, when are you going to be so close to Bodie ever again? You know what I mean?
Let's just be honest. He should have said, I don't care about Bodie.
Yeah, that's basically what he said without saying it. But, you know, if you haven't seen your buddy who, like, for instance, I have a buddy who lives in, like, Missouri now, or Kansas mm-hmm. City, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
All right. And he was on our Pebble trip. But if I'm flying to St. Louis and he lives 20 minutes away from the St. Louis airport and, you know, I'm in town for a weekend, I guarantee you I'm going to see him and hang out for a little bit.
Now, I don't think Bodie, who used to work here, and he's a very good friend of mine.
By the way, very gracious of Bodie, too.
Well, here's the thing. They're not 20 minutes away. Bodie just said, I'm going to be at the airport at the same time as you. Let's meet up at the airport bar and get a beer, a Coors Light together, okay?
Tap the Rockies.
Let's tap the Rockies, EB.
Let's wait for our mountains to get blue.
we'll meet up. We'll tap a beer. And EB said no.
Get a Coors banquet with me.
All right. And then EB didn't want to talk about it on the air today.
He's just a stone's throw away from him, too. It's literally 15 minutes of his time.
15 minutes.
You know what it is? What? Eric doesn't feel like talking to him. It's not like he doesn't want to see him. He doesn't want to engage in conversation, meaningful conversation.
But would he do that? Like, would he do that with us? I know we see him a lot, so it's not quite the same. But EB asks me all the time. You know, I should have brought this up. EB's in Chantilly all the time for volleyball. He's always asking me to meet up for a beer.
Yeah, you know what? You meet him at, like, Ford's Fish Shack all the time.
I've been to Ford's Fish Shack. I've been to, I've seen
Glory Days.
Nikki the bartender at, what's the place called? The Dave's?
Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's. Yeah. By the way, that was his spot. I don't know if he ever said that on the air. He always talked about his secret spot. It was Famous Dave's. It was the bar at Famous Dave's.
It closed, right?
It did close down.
No one can stalk him anymore.
I don't know where
he's right next to you. How often are you hanging out with Eric?
Not very often. Usually I duck those invites.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous, though.
Why?
That you get asked to hang out.
You can come to Chantilly and hang out.
No,
I don't usually duck the invites. I'm just, our timing doesn't work out. It's a funny visual, just imagining Bodie and EB 30 feet from each other,
passing each other,
like two ships in the night. Yeah. meeting up for a beer.
I like the thought of Eric shuffling with his slides and his his Nats hat, staring at his phone, passing Bodie
right
in the middle of the airport terminal.
It's funny to me because I've been on these trips with EB. Valdez has too, but like picturing EB and reminiscing. EB in the West Palm Beach airport, okay? Easy flight, 2-hour flight. These guys, you know this, you know the drill by now. They bitch and complain the entire time about how awful it is.
Yeah, I mean,
and then they're asking to go back all the time. But like seeing EB at the airport, totally wiped out after a 2-hour flight, sitting on his bags, just lounging backwards, rolling his eyes because I'm at Hertz trying to rent the car and it's taking what's taking so long? Can we get out of here? Someone call an Uber. The entire time.
I'm just going to get in the Uber and I'll meet you at the hotel.
He does like to just roll out of the airport. He doesn't want to wait around. But I do like this. I do like this about him. Eric has this new thing about no commitments. I love that. I love not being committed. If he wants to drive to TJ Maxx to get a Broncos hat, by golly, he's going to do it.
He has no agenda.
I love that.
Besides the game, he has no agenda.
I hate commitments.
But you know what? This is what was interesting, though, is I feel like Bodie offered up a great spot to hang out because I think airports are enchanting.
Oh, okay. Would you like
me on this?
Enchanting is not the word I would use to describe airports.
I think
a little bit thrilling.
This is what I like. I like people watching. And number one, it's the best people watching that you could ever have. All right. Number two.
Why is that?
Just because you have all walks of life.
All walks of life.
You know, and then you know what I like
also,
to do?
Also, you're sleeping on this?
No. This is what I like to do. I like to eye up somebody that's running down the terminal. All right. And I look at them and I go, what is this person doing? Why is this person traveling? And I like to give them a backstory, like saying, you know, this person is trying to go close a big sales pitch at a car parts place in Detroit. That's what I like doing.
All right. I do that. I do that kind of stuff.
Like
too.
Selling Callahan brake pads.
I do like airports because people are off their game and they're stressed usually about the flight and making the flight. So they have shorter tempers. This is why you see fights at the airports, or you see just people being rude.
And then, you know, airports are like cities within a city.
I do like measuring people up and being like, what does this guy have to do in Dallas? Why is this guy flying to Dallas? Yeah,
why does this guy need to be in Albuquerque of all places? Albuquerque.
Yeah. You know, like who needs him?
Yes. Then I like to see like, oh, that's a bachelorette party. I wonder which one's the crazy one. You know what I mean?
You had a little story.
Flying into
Now, are you
Nashville.
Are you a big chit-chatter with the person next to you?
No.
All right. So you're not that into him.
No. I don't talk to anyone. I like giving them, making up stories in my head about them. Also, I like the fact that there is no judgment about drinking at 6 a.m., it's the airport.
There's no time.
But the airport is the only place in the world where you can be judge free.
No, I judge people in the airport
about having about people sitting at a bar at 7:30.
Because time doesn't exist in the airport.
Yes, exactly.
That's why you can get five guys at 7 a.m.
Yes.
You get a beer at 7 a.m.
You can have a whole burger.
Right.
You know, at 6 in the morning.
But
it's thrilling.
Here's the thing: I do. If you're too much of a slob, I judge the crap.
Oh yes, yeah. Like if you're taking off your shoes on the plane and everything.
If you're doing that, if you're wearing just gross sweatpants or your hair's not combed, because in a way, I don't fly. I'm not flying in a suit like they did back in like the 1950s.
Yeah, you're not Mad Men.
I don't need that. But these people who roll out of bed and their PJs and
that's the number one airport faux pas that I have.
These
is if
girls
you're wearing pajama pants.
These girls and guys who go to the airport and they're like overweight and beer bellies and they have these like Mickey Mouse pajama pants on. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they have a Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Like
t-shirt.
You're in public. Time doesn't exist here. Just because it's 6 a.m.
I like the person who is so well organized with their tech. Like they have iPads.
No, that's
they
me.
Have chargers. They have laptops.
Yeah,
they have their headphones ready. They have portable chargers.
Movies downloaded.
Yeah, all ready to go. They're not fiddling with their Netflix, not wondering why they're not getting a stream on the flight.
Right.
Because they're rubes.
What's the name of the wireless company on website? Isn't it like Go Boing or something like that? You know what I'm talking about? You got to be like a member. You can be like a member. Somebody will tweet it to me.
I don't know.
You don't fly enough. You're not well traveled.
You're right. I do. Well, I'm not arguing with you.
I like hotels more than airports.
Well, hotels the same way.
No. You get excited to go to airports, which is fine. I get excited too. But walking into a hotel. Okay, let me talk about leaving the junkies. If I leave the junkies, I'm intrigued by being a guy who takes business trips. All right? Are you not? Why are you laughing?
I was going to spit out my drink.
Are you not
my wave soda?
Are you not intrigued by business trips?
I am.
And just being a guy, like you said, a guy who's needed in another city, but then the excitement of checking into a hotel by yourself.
Yes.
Knowing that you can eat whatever you want for dinner that night.
You come up to the front desk in your business attire and you got like some small rollaway bag, and that person checking you in or the concierge goes, mm-hmm. That guy's here for business.
You can meet some cool guy in the bar and you guys swap
you guys
stories.
Talk shop. Yeah. Hey, I closed that Penske file 3 weeks ago.
You can watch filthy pornography, judgment.
Yeah, you get blocks of porno. Right? I mean, just 5 hour blocks.
Right, just,
I mean, how
things
much,
that you can never click yeah, on I mean, at home, on yeah, your home I mean, network.
I mean, how much fapping can you do in 5 hours?
There's an excitement about hotels for me.
Now, mini bars, coffee machines.
Yep. One thing though that
you're sleeping on this.
What?
Continental breakfast.
Continental breakfast got a big run on the show recently. I don't like continental breakfasts.
I don't like
those sloppy eggs either.
No. I like the option of running downstairs and having a banana or cereal or a croissant on my way out.
Here's why I don't do that.
I like stuffing my bag full of bananas.
I guess I do like muffins. I do like hotel muffins.
Hotel muffins are a one seed.
I usually turn into a fat pig on trips, though. So I usually McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. I like the big, the greasy.
Yeah, because you're dining out. You know, also corporate cards, expense reports.
We don't know anything about that.
I know. I'm just saying I like the idea.
Okay.
I like the idea of charging my dinners on the corporate
make
card.
Someone else pay for it.
Yes.
This is what I always think about when I go to hotels, and this is junkies related. Steve Buckhantz said one time on the show, he talked about it a couple of times before when he was still the Wizards play-by-play announcer. When he would check into hotel rooms, do you know what he would do?
Yes.
He would check in between the mattresses and check under the mattress to make sure it was clean. And because he would always find disgusting things in between the two mattresses. And that was like his big hang up. But he didn't want to be sleeping on used condoms or porno mags or
rags,
bags or bed bugs.
Didn't he bring his own sheets? I thought he
may have brought his own sheets as well.
Bring his own linen.
He was a fanatic about all that.
Smart.
Yeah.
By the way, when we're at the hotels and we're staying, this is just business drab and business felonies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to stay in anything less than a 4-star.
I don't care about that.
Really?
I don't want to, because I've been watching. I watch Reacher, and Reacher's staying in those flea motels or those flea bags. You're right. Those flea bags, and there's something enchanting about those. I will always remember my drive out from Phoenix to Washington D.C. when I moved here, and that 3-day or 4-day trip or whatever it was. And I stayed in Motel 6 after Motel 6, and I loved it. Those are some of my fondest memories.
You left the light on.
I left the light. I remember I stayed at some motel crap in the Smoky Mountains. And I always think about that, just disappearing for a while and being in the middle of nowhere.
That's probably Smoky Mountains, like you're like in Asheville or something. Right.
No, Asheville's in North Carolina.
Well, it's the same thing. Smoky
Mountains. Is it the same mountain, the Appalachian Mountains?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I mean, that's like prime serial killer stuff.
I think there are a lot of missing women. missing women in the Smoky Mountains.
A lot of vagabonds.
You know, you're right. It was a sketchy place.
Yeah. Do you the same thing that I did at airports? You would see some loner at the motel, and you tried to come up with a story about him or her.
You're big into the stories.
I am.
You're big into the stories. I'm not as big, but I would do this if I ever win the Powerball and I quit the junks. Yes. I will. Now, it's a little bit harder now that I have kids and a wife. But I fantasize. Speaking of fantasies, okay, I fantasize about disappearing for a while. Nobody knows where I'm at, right? Everybody knows I hit the Powerball, right?
Okay.
It's on the news. Local producer makes it big. Hits it big.
Your big, big dumb lip smiling as you hold a check.
Right. Nikki Burdine interviews me.
Yeah. Lurch texting you nonstop to hang out.
Right. I'm intrigued by this. I'm intrigued by being off the grid for a while. And when I say off the grid, I don't mean like without electricity or like some of these other like hippies like to do. No, I just mean nobody knows where I'm at. No, I just disappear and I'm traveling the country. I'm stopping at every diner in Nebraska.
Paying cash.
I go up to Canada for a while, just seeing the world. I have a fantasy about living in Mexico City for some reason.
What?
I don't know. I'm big into Mexico.
You've been watching too many Denzel movies.
I watch,
Man on Fire.
My favorite YouTuber lived in Mexico City. Mike Wise lives in Mexico City. For some reason, I just want to experience other cultures. So that's my big fantasy, hitting the Powerball.
driving to Mexico City.
Driving to...
I can think of 10 million things.
But I'm by myself, right? There's no time. There's no law. I don't have to be anywhere.
You just want to be with yourself and your silly thoughts.
Well, it's not necessarily by myself. If my wife and kids want to come, that'd be cool too. I don't think they're into that.
You have to say that for semantics, but I know what you mean.
No, but this isn't...
I know you're not running away from your kids.
No. You're big into solitude.
I definitely get sized for solitude.
This isn't about solitude. This is just about having nobody tell me where to be and when to be there. And I can just go with the flow and see the world how I want to see it. And money's no problem, right? That's what I envision. I told you, I got sized for those, what do you call them, micheladas in Mexico of the street corners.
Oh, chiladas.
I got a lot of weird fantasies that I want to experience. None of them sexual. Just weird, dumb, drabs, kind of a weirdo type things.
You want to be like the village silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some sleepy fishing village. And then everyone knows.
Where's Drab?
And then Drab is like the person that nobody sees. And he lives on the house upon the hill in the sleepy fishing village. That kind of what
yeah, and then,
like?
And then I post some photo on Instagram. Nobody can quite sure where it's at with some dopey quote from 1883 about life and when it's meaning.
Right. You've been watching too much 1883.
Yeah. Great, amazing series. I hope everybody out there watched it. We don't break down TV shows. And we don't do thermostat talk, which is what the junkies also tried to do today. We told you, if you ever hear thermostat talk on the junkies,
that means they got nothing.
They got nothing. And they brought up thermostats today at 6:20.
After breaking down every poker hand.
By the way, after a segment of poker.
By the way, I should have yelled bobblehead today when I was talking about...
Oh, we were going to get a bobblehead mention.
I know. Looking back on it. The opening segment when I told everyone my life achievement of shooting one under par.
Yeah, 71.
Yes. It was no sold at first, and then Eric finally perked up. Eric finally woke up and was giving me props. That made me feel good. You know what? Eric's been making me feel good lately.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
He's down on you, stocks up on me.
He shouldn't be down on me. I'm the one. I did all his research, all the research, and put together the entire story of validating the RG3's book wasn't coming out, and it's been canceled. He canceled it.
And he took all your hard work and claimed it as his own.
Yeah. So I may not make him laugh like you, and you definitely made him laugh today on the show.
I did make him laugh, and also I felt like he was being very inspirational about golf. That made me feel good about myself.
Well, because he did make you feel good because he talked about how no one ever gets any better, but you've somehow figured it out.
Found a loophole.
What did you make about him calling you old today? He goes, you're old. How old are you? And you're 34.
It actually hit me pretty hard.
That would hit me.
Because I've been with the show since I was 21.
Right.
You know,
I'm 39, birthdays in 4 months.
My life is like halfway over, you could argue.
Well, I'd hope not.
I hope not either, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of people that die.
The fun's over. 60. The majority of the fun is over.
Oh, yeah, fun's completely over.
But I don't think 34 is old, and they let you know today that 34 is old.
Trust me, I feel old.
You're too bulky. You gotta trim some mass off that thing. You're carrying around too much weight.
I definitely am. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know how, but I need muscles to pound the golf ball.
I know. Well, it's not all about that. Look at Will Zalatoris.
You're such an asshole.
For some reason, Valdez doesn't like it when I name golfers that are non-major winners.
Well, also remember, I said I'd give you $100 if you can name like 100 golfers.
We need to do that. It was 50 golfers, but this was like 10 years ago. I 100% can name 50 golfers now.
You said like Fuzzy Zeller or something like that.
But when I was just naming like Tom Kite when I was like at the end, I was running out of golfers. All right. Well, I think this has been a good show. We could talk about some other things. For some reason, Valdez has Valdez in New Orleans.
Oh,
what's that about?
Oh, because I during Mardi Gras, since Mardi Gras was Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was Fat Tuesday.
What?
I thought it was Fat Tuesday. I thought Mardi Gras is like the entire celebration.
Well, it is. It starts on Fat Tuesday, doesn't it?
No, it ends on Fat Tuesday.
I don't know. I just know Mardi Gras started on Tuesday.
No. Mardi Gras is big. It was like...
All right, Mardi Gras, I don't know.
I'm the Louisiana guy.
I know. Well, that's why I put it in there. Because I'm, you know, all this king cake talk.
Yeah.
All right. And then I know you've been to New Orleans, Nolens.
Yeah.
I'm Sice for New Orleans.
You've never been?
I've never been. I think
you would love it.
I think it's a Valdez type of city.
Well, it's like, for people from Pasadena, it's like Key West.
Hold on. Okay. What do you mean by that?
It's a heaven's playground. Is that the right phrase?
I don't know.
You know what I mean. If you're white trash,
New Orleans is for you.
New Orleans is for you. That's why I'm stunned that Cody Betts didn't like it.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Why does New Orleans appeal to white trash people?
Because it's dirty. It's nonstop drinking, but it's friendly. All right. It's all about.
And you're picking crawfish.
You're big into seafood down there.
I love seafood.
I know. You would love New Orleans. I have no reason to love New Orleans, and it inspired me, and I loved it. I hate music. I love the music there. I hate seafood. Ate po' boys nonstop. I take two showers a day a lot of times. It's the dirtiest place in America.
You're probably so sweaty.
So sweaty. I went there in July.
Yeah, you're your wedding in July, and then you're in New Orleans in July.
Couldn't figure out why it was so cheap. Hotel, it was staying at a 4-star hotel. It was like $60 a night.
were you out parading around Bourbon Street?
Oh yeah. I've been to New Orleans twice, I believe.
Well, you have family that live there.
My brother-in-law does live there.
What was I going to say? What's the like
Patty O'Brien's? Yeah, you go to Hurricane there.
Did you go there?
I went to a strip club with my wife in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. How many guys can say that?
That is spicy.
And that was it was Sarah's idea. I'll never forget that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. How drunk were you guys?
That's as kinky as we've ever gotten.
Yeah, how drunk were you guys?
Probably pretty drunk.
All right, you're probably day drinking, having hurricanes.
Yeah, right? But this was late.
I know. I'm just saying you're drinking during the day. All right.
Yeah.
All right, and now you had your dinner, you had your etouffee, and you're back in the place, and you're trying to find stuff to do.
Stumbling home,
and your wife goes, "Hey, honey, let's go watch some strippers shake their ass."
Well, here's the thing. It there are strip clubs right next on Bourbon Street, next to the bars. Not a lot of them that I don't remember, but there are a few, and they
kind of like a red light district.
Exactly. Like it's a slop house. It's just gross. The whole place is gross. But
all right. By the way, this is a very important question for the strip club in New Orleans.
Yes.
Are they pasties or it's all nude?
They definitely were topless. I don't remember if they were bottomless.
Interesting.
But I remember it was an awkward feeling. I'm going to be honest with you. Getting a lap dance in front of your wife
is awkward. That's what I want to know. All right.
But she was cool about it. She liked it. She was encouraging it. She was like, get a lap dance. Get a lap dance.
Did she pick out the girl?
Yes. What? I think that's the rule.
Oh, that is.
That's hot, right?
That is. I got movement.
Okay. All right. Unlike the last time I went, Valdez picked out my girl. And she was a big one.
Sam.
I don't know if we ever talked about that.
Sam was it? Sam gave us a 2-for-1 special. Except the one girl was the size of two.
I've been to a strip club probably twice in the last 10 years. Once was with Valdez, and once was with my wife in New Orleans.
All right. So, what kind of girl did your wife pick out?
A blonde bombshell. Wow.
Now, did she have big?
Of course. You pervert. Of course.
All right.
What do you think, first of all? You think a lot of strippers are flat chested?
I don't. I'm just.
Thin.
I'm imagining the buxom blonde that she picked out. All right. So, All right. So you're on that stained sofa. All right.
You're getting filthy.
I'm not getting filthy. I'm bleeping some stuff. Yep. All right, so you're on that filthy sofa.
Yeah.
All right, and your wife is she on the sofa with you, or is she like
we were sitting at
like she's sitting cat corner.
It wasn't a sofa. It was like a foretop.
Okay.
You know, like some drinks. So we're I guess sitting in chairs.
All right. Now did she look around and pick her out, or are all these girls just coming up to you guys?
Girls were coming up, but we were of being course. Polite, saying maybe later, all that stuff. And then eventually, when my wife picked up, found the one she liked.
All right.
And I think my wife got a lap dance as well.
Whoa.
Now that was titillating. Yeah. Of course. You know,
have to run to the corner, corner of the strip club for that.
Yeah. All right. This is 2015. This is before we were married.
Okay. So. You get your lap dance. Mm-hmm. Now, is she like cheering you on, cheering her on?
Oh, yeah.
She's going hooting and hollering.
It wasn't any of like, let's go back to your hotel room and have a threesome. But there was none of that. No, I was a customer.
Yes.
It was clearly a customer.
You were just getting kinky.
Yes. But here's what I do remember about it. One of the people that we met up down there was her friend Johnny from high school, right? Like a close friend.
Uh-huh.
And I actually liked the guy a lot. He was a very cool guy. When we agreed, we'd been drinking, the three of us, all afternoon. When we said, my wife said, let's go to the strip club.
Whoa. Your friend went with you guys?
No. He said, I got to go home. And he ran home to his fiance. He didn't want to go to the strip club without his fiance. Maybe he thought that she would find out, or maybe he's just a really good guy. I don't know. So it went from three to just my wife and I.
All right, let's talk about our strip club experience together.
Okay. I love talking about that. We always allude to it. I don't think we ever go really talk.
I don't think we've ever told the story.
2014, maybe 2013.
Yes. We go, a sales guy.
Sales guy. Okay. Figure that one out.
Yeah. A sales guy.
P1s.
Takes us to a Ravens game.
You said Sam like 2 minutes ago.
I know. All right. So Sam takes us to the Ravens-Cardinals game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Cardinals are up like 21-0. All right.
Third quarter or something, right?
No. It was in the second quarter.
Okay.
I think like Patrick Peterson just had a pick six on Joe Flacco.
Yep.
All right.
It's 21-0. I remember that.
All right. Sam's not doing his rail humps. He's not scoring. All right.
You guys are in terrible moods.
Terrible moods. Team sucks. We hate the Ravens. And then Sam says, if the Ravens come back and win, we're celebrating at the strip club. I go, all right. We just figured the game's over.
Well, no chance it would happen.
No.
Also, I was not sized to go.
I know you weren't.
I did not want to go to a strip club in downtown Baltimore Sunday afternoon.
It's Sunday. It's 4:30, and we're heading to the block.
Yeah. Okay. Terrible idea.
All right.
What was the name of the place? We didn't go to Fantasies. Where'd we go?
No, we went to Hustler Club.
Hustler Club. Classy.
If you don't know, Hustler Club has a 2-story stripper pole. Yep. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
All right. Well, anyways, the Ravens come back and win, and then the sales guy is a man of his word. All right. We walked in the front door of Hustler Club. And by the way, it's sunshine. You know, it's like end of September. Mm-hmm. The sun is shining. It's like 80 degrees. And then you walk in. It looks like pitch black.
It's so, I remember, so black in there.
Yeah. It's so dark. Uh-huh. You got to hide all of these pimples all over these strippers. All right. We walk in there, and it looked like Sam was Norm from Cheers. He had his arms extended outward. You know, like the Game of Thrones meme where they have the Ice King and he has his hands like that. He walks through the door with his hands up like that. And all of a sudden, girls are flocking to him like he's Dennis Hoff at the Bunny Ranch.
Now, I remember we sat at the bar for a while. The bar area.
Sam doesn't want
to
get.
Yeah, he didn't want to get right to it. He wanted to experience it a little bit more.
Right. He wanted the drinks to kick in, and he was eyeing them up from afar.
Yeah.
He didn't want to dive in. So finally.
We go back, and he's encouraging us to get dances.
Sam says dances are on him.
Sized.
All right. So Drab and I look at each other. All right, and we didn't know what to do. We felt a little sheepish.
Yeah.
But Sam is walking back on that private couch with like two girls on his arm. Right. And I pick out this 200-pound stripper that I think broke my hip.
picked out the biggest girl in the lot.
I got Bo Jackson hip from her lap dance. But to be honest with you, there weren't that many thin ones around.
Yeah, right. I always remember my friends talking about how hot the girls in Baltimore were and compared to D.C. and how they were really slutty. And I'm not talking about strippers. I'm just talking about girls in general. Yeah, and how they were just the perfect place for single guys. I didn't get that experience, that feeling at the strip club. These are some big girls. And here's what I remember about the girl I chose. Or maybe it was just the leftover one. She also, not that skinny, but she didn't look like she one of Valdez's college girlfriends. Huh. Okay. She smelled like she smelled like an ashtray. But I remember a reason I got sized is that she was Middle Eastern. And I had never had a lap dance or been physical with a Middle Eastern woman before. And so she was exotic. And I remember
she put the exotic and exotic dancer.
100% looked like she was from Dubai. And
you imagine you were a sheik. Right, you're in the back room in Abu Dhabi, being taken care of.
She was pretty attractive, but a curvy woman, smelled like an ashtray, and it couldn't have been that hot out because I remember wearing sweatpants or maybe I was wearing shorts, but I remember thinking, this is a show because
I have sweatpants.
I am fully sized right now, and this girl's gonna make me run to the bathroom, or I'm gonna have an accident in this chair right here.
I need to get some paper towels.
I needed some jeans on. I need something with a little bit more sturdiness between us.
All right, let me ask you a question. Did a Hustler Club have a bathroom attendant?
I don't remember.
Because I know strip clubs are hot spots for bathroom attendants.
Probably not at 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, if I had to guess.
They're still sleeping.
Yeah.
And by the way, we probably got the bad shift.
Oh, yeah. We 100%. Those were not their grade A girls. Yeah. And I've actually never been to Cal's Fantasies.
I have not.
It's been mentioned on the Junks a million times, and you guys all the Junks got the handshakes. I've never been to Cal's. I've met Cal.
No,
ten times.
I've never gone to the club.
That's got
to
be on our bucket list, don't you think?
Yes, especially with the handshake.
The handshake.
That's required.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Cal's still alive or if he has girls coming to a strip club. We haven't heard from him in
years,
many years
since Lanham.
Since Lanham, yeah. All right. Well, that's enough. Oh, yeah.
Sorry to regale you with the strip club stuff.
I don't. We talk about stuff we find interesting.
I know.
It's all junkies related.
I felt we were very all over the place.
We were, but we're kind of like the junkies. No agenda. We got a couple notes here. Nothing planned out.
All right, guys. Next week is our, what do you call your 25th anniversary?
Silver.
It's our silver episode.
Our silver episode.
All right.
Oh, and by the way, if you are interested in sponsoring Bit Season,
yes,
hit up Bit Season or myself or Drab on Twitter or Instagram, and we'll try to get you some details about it. We appreciate people who are interested in supporting the show, and it means a lot.
Absolutely.
Also, get your St. Patrick's Day cameos.
Hey, though. Just right around the corner. Valdez will do a shot of Jameson during every cameo. No.
Well, actually, we'll get Adam to do that.
Oh, yeah. We also thought Adam was on the show today, and he just didn't show up.
He ghosted us.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. Love doing this show, and we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Later.